Welcome back. We've been listening to the celebration of life of the 41st President, George Herbert Walker Bush. An appropriate reverence for the former president. Absolutely. Why? Because 41 mattered for the obvious reasons. He was the leader of the United States and the free world. But more importantly, 41 lived a storied life and accomplished so much. So many opportunities to highlight his accomplishments, but he would not do that. Humility was the cornerstone to the reverence we are witnessing today. 41 never viewed himself as the center of any universe, and as such, his diplomatic approaches, which led to innumerable accomplishments, which often revealed so many world leaders expressing a strong desire to stand by his side. He understood the notion of the long game and the importance of same, hence significant domestic policy accomplishments as well. In my view, though, no domestic theme more important than his points of light movement. President Bush described this movement as points of light are the soul of America. They are ordinary people who reach beyond themselves to touch the lives of those in need, bringing hope and opportunity, care and friendship. By giving so generously of themselves, these remarkable individuals show us not only what is best in our heritage, but what all of us are called to become. True to his form, 41 made it about everyone else and simply reminded each of us that we all matter. A one-term president who leaves so many points of light that will shine forever. My thoughts about 41. Joining me in the studio is City Council member Joe Geruso and State Senator J.P. Morrell. And thank y'all for being here with me in the studio, guys. I know we were supposed to start at noon on this subject matter. But real quick, while we're talking about President Bush, 41, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think for a lot of us who are in politics, you look at someone who as a leader did so much to build coalitions, to build broad-based support for issues, and really sought more to unite than divide. I think that when you look at his legacy, it will be that he probably was the last compromise president.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, Joe.
We were talking offline about the importance of bipartisanship and also doing something that was politically disastrous for him, but that was important for the country. When he said, read my lips, no new taxes, people held him to that, and he knew that he needed to raise taxes, and he took the ultimate sacrifice in his career because it was in the betterment of his country.
Yes, truly selfless. And talking about politics, let's come back to the topic that we were going to talk about today. You guys have collaborated in bringing forth legislation, I guess, in this next legislative session to change the representation or representative membership of the Sewage and Water Board and to amend the Home Rule Charter in order to do so. So tell us about that.
Well, basically, what several years back, I authored legislation to remove the City Council from the Sewage and Water Board. We did that based upon a lot of recommendations and best practices. And that was in effect for about 2 years. Obviously, last August 5th, we had the massive flooding across the city. And at that time, I think we all woke up to the fact that basically those who we had placed in charge of the Sewage and Water Board were effectively asleep at the wheel. Essentially, the current nature of the Sewage and Water Board is it's an 11-person board where the mayor is the chairman, and she picks all 10 members. The concern that's arisen, and this predates her back to when Mitch was chair of the Sewage and Water Board, is that when you centralize power that much, there's no one really watching to make sure things are being done properly. In that vein, I brought legislation working with Councilmember Geruso to restore one council member, not three, back to the Sewage and Water Board so that an independent third party would be there who's not beholden to the mayor to make sure things are getting done. And even more importantly, working with the council member, we realized that there really is no accountability piece of the Sewage and Water Board to the City Council at all. The Sewage and Water Board is a state agency, and though traditionally they have some deference to the City Council, there's no teeth to make them accountable to the City Council. So a large part of this charter amendment and that previous legislation is to put that teeth there to give the council the ability to, when they need answers, to demand them and get them. So it's very important that voters, I believe, take a look at this, give it a hard look. I think it's a great compromise. We're not restoring the three council members back to 11-person board. We're putting one back, and also giving the council the flexibility to put an engineer instead. But at the end of the day, what we needed August 5th, what we need going forward, is accountability, and having a council member who's accountable to the public, who, like many of these board members post August 5th, we had a slew of resignations because, as you know, when you're an appointee, if things get difficult, you can walk. A council member can't walk. They have to deal with it going forward, and I think it brings a level of security to individuals and the public to know that there's someone watching that till who has their best interest at heart.
So for the benefit of the listening audience, they get to cast their vote on this issue Saturday.
This Saturday.
This Saturday, December 8th.
It'll
be on the ballot. You know, interestingly enough, I mean, I knew that, but you don't hear a lot of chatter about the fact that this is on the ballot on December 8th.
I think because there isn't a lot else on the ballot, people aren't as focused. It's one of those big elections that doesn't have a lot of other attention on it right now. But I think Senator Morrell's point is exactly right, which is you need somebody on there who can do two different things. One is who has the time and the resources to really dive into all these issues. It's not easy. And I thought while I was campaigning that I understood Sewage and Water Board well. And after 7 months, I realized I'm just scratching the surface. The other piece, in my view, is you want somebody who is going to be a voice for what they consistently hear. And the people who serve on the board do a magnificent job in their volunteer capacities. They want what's in the best interest of the city. But I get stopped every day, every place I go, with a billing issue, a service cut. When I'm at the dry cleaners, the woman hands me her bill. So you want somebody, one person at least, who's that representative voice of the people.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because the closest contact that the public has is really not to the mayor's office. It's to the district reps that they look to. That's who they're more likely to call first, right, in order to work through the myriad of the bureaucracy of city government. I don't mean that in a negative way. That's just the reality of government throughout the country. So they look to those folks who may possibly be their neighbor or someone they know to make that first call.
Yeah, well, and that's the part of particularly being in this community, is having lived here and being multiple generations. People know they can stop you at the soccer field, at church, wherever you are, and say, hey, we want to bend your ear about this issue. And you got to be available. Make sure you're accessible.
Well, I think it's also equally important, and I don't want to overly stress this, but there has to be a level of accountability that simply does not exist right now. I mean, even if you might recall, after the August 5th floods, it took months for us to figure out what went wrong. And it wasn't that the information wasn't available. It's that it took very contentious city council hearings, much longer than it should have, to find out that this was a systemic problem, that the executives at Sewage and Water Board, for the most part, the middle ones, were aware of it, and they simply did nothing about it. I mean, even more recent controversies show that there are some tremendous challenges within that body, that there is a reticence of people who are not elected officials, who serve on an appointed capacity on a board, to really wade into really contentious political issues. And you saw after the August 5th floods, when you had this mass spate of resignations, that when things get tough, an appointed member has the ability literally to write a letter and walk away. You need someone on there who's not going to be afraid that when things are wrong, to call it out timely. And more importantly, like I said, with the reporting piece, part of what's in this charter amendment is the requirement the Sewage and Water Board give reports to the council and public as preparedness before hurricane season. That's not required under the law right now. Under the law right now, you could call the Sewage and Water Board in April and say, are we ready for the hurricanes? And they could say, we'll get back to you. That's what they can do right now.
Yeah, you know, we talked yesterday a little bit about it's amazing as many utility poles as we have in this city, that one utility pole gets knocked down and the next thing we know we're boiling water because the whole system has come to a screeching halt. I asked the question of David Hammer, from WWL TV, that was doing a report on it. I wonder if we've ever thought about having a multi-disciplinary operations center that actually communicates with one another. Because if one pole can take the water system out, we need to have a more real-time remedial body who's calling upon all the assets and resources and everything else. But as you pointed out, JP, it goes back to even some even more basic than that.
Right.
The very structure of this tends to be flawed. So I'm going to ask the question, where's the mayor on this issue?
I'm not aware of her having expressed to me she has one opinion one way or the other on the issue. She might have taken a public position, but I'm not aware of it. I mean, I can tell you that the only groups
that's a shame. If I'm the mayor, I would want to share this responsibility with the council and others because I think we need to bring the best and the brightest to the table. We got to keep things in check, checks and balances. There are things that are obviously not going to be beneficial to her all the time, but there has to be somebody that brings out the contrary point of view. It can't just be the administrative point of view. We'll never remediate this system if we're not bringing compelling thought and contrary views to the table, right? I mean,
you need criticism. I mean, that makes us better legislators. And then the other thing on it, when you're on a body, whether it's Sewage and Water Board, the legislature like Senator Morrell or City Council, you get better ideas because of other people. I don't decide things in a silo. I have to work with other people to get them done. And so the more ideas that come out and that people are talking about, particularly in public, the better the result generally.
All right, we'll be right back. We got to get to a break. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're joined by Senator J.P. Morrell, District 3, and Councilmember Joe Geruso, District A, on the New Orleans City Council. And we're talking about a ballot measure to amend the Home Rule Charter to change the membership of the Sewage and Water Board. And it would add a council representative to the board. And that is going to be voted on this Saturday, December 8th, during the election. I think the Secretary of State's office is on there. Are there any other ballot measures?
There are a couple of random judge races.
That's right. I saw that. And I think in Jefferson Parish, we have a couple of school board races in addition to the Secretary of State's race as well. I want to get back, and I don't want to belabor this point, but in light of all of the issues that we've faced, and you know, it would seem to me that collaboration would be key and on all fronts from a political standpoint in addressing the situation with the Sewage and Water Board, that the mayor hasn't come out and stated a position. I mean, for me, it wouldn't be a question of ownership. I mean, it's a question of moving forward about bringing talent together and trying to resolve these issues. I mean, politically, she's going to need political help, right?
Well, I mean, the number one issue, as much as the Sewage and Water Board is tasked with sewage and water, it's obviously tasked with drainage, and there's a lot of conversation about a drainage fee. In order to convince the public that a drainage fee is necessary, you need the utmost transparency and collaboration, because if nothing else, you're going to need the council to help convince the public a drainage fee is necessary. Not having a council member on Sewage and Water Board, not having any independent third party verify that needs are needs and wants are wants, you really create a scenario where you could have a Sewage and Water Board that's a very secretive, non-transparent body making a taxation recommendation that the public is going to scoff at because they're not convinced it's a need.
Yeah, I mean, you need more cheerleaders.
Absolutely.
Not less cheerleaders, right?
Well, and you want people at the table who have a different point of view, too.
Right.
And look, I understand that a board's first job isn't to get into every single little detail, but if there's somebody from the council on there, we're going to say, look, guys, you got to rectify the billing situation first for two reasons. Number one is it will restore public confidence to a certain degree, which is really important. But then secondly, to the senator's point, collect all the money that you have that you're owed. Then you can go talk to people about potentially doing a drainage fee. But when you're owed $20 or $30 million, good luck trying to go get that money
now. We've seen that the appetite for the public for a new taxation is nil. And continuing to have this mentality, it's a holdover from the previous administration, whereas trust me is over with. It's trust but verify. At this point, if you're going to come to the public for anything, you better have a detailed, transparent analysis of why the penny, the half a cent, the quarter cents need it. Otherwise, there are no. And everyone who's involved with this process knows that at some point it's going to come down to dollars and cents. And I'm with you. I don't understand why you don't want to publicly say, I want more eyes looking at this to help make the case. Because if it's just you and a board appointed by you making the case, that's really just you.
Yeah, I mean, you take on a lot of risk. There's not a lot of upside. I mean, this problem didn't reveal itself in a year or two. I mean, this problem has been going on for a long time. And it's just reached a boiling point now, no pun intended, but
right.
but you know, whereby it's got everybody's attention because not the basic needs, the absolute necessities are not being met, right?
Well, and let me say maybe a little bit differently, which to JP's accountability point, there have been failures across the way for decades, whether it's executive leadership at Sewage and Water Board, the executive branch, the boards themselves, or the council.
Right.
This is a time to rectify that. So everybody is together trying to make the best decisions possible on a big push that needs to move forward.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, the reality is that the public, I'll say briefly, the public, it's interesting, and I know that some groups like VGR have a different opinion than many of us do, but the public wants a practical solution. They don't really care about what a think tank says. They want to know that if they're paying their sewage and water board bill, if it's correct, if they're paying it, they're paying the appropriate amount, it's being spent appropriately, and it's going to result in a better outcome. Whether or not that you've got another politician on the board is an issue, but whether or not that board's going to be accountable to the people raising their taxes, like the council, that's also very important.
Well, I think the council's to be commended because basically what you're saying is, I want to share the responsibility. There's no upside for y'all. Y'all could just sit back and point the finger and say, it's the mayor. But, you know, you feel that you have an obligation to your constituents to get involved and help remedy the situation. Thanks so much again for waiting around. We really appreciate it. Important issue, vote December 8th on this ballot measure. We'll see you again tomorrow.